the Bears.
We'll go next to Chris Emma from 670 The Score. Go ahead, Chris.
Chris Emma.
I will fight Chris Emma. Name the time, name the place. I'll be there, Chris Emma.
Covering the Bears for 670 The Score.
Covering the Bears quite a bit, as he always does, and we're always happy to have him aboard. Chris Emma.
Yeah, we got you, Chris. Chris, you look like you're working that technology about like I did.
Lead Bears writer for 670thescore.com.
We have time for one more Chris Emma. This will be the last one.
Well, Coach, just say the word, and I'll get my technique fine-tuned and ready for your offensive line.
Chris Emma with Spiegel and Holmes.
I like it.
On 670 The Score.
Let's get it. Chris Emma is here. He joins us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. And whenever it is that we are doing Bears conversation here on The Score, we love the folks over at Chevy, Chevy Drive Chicago, and the number one pick, the Silverado. Emma, this is like post-game coverage because they really do like these dual practices versus preseason games. So tell us everything we need to know.
Guys, it was a busy day with plenty to unpack here at Hallis Hall. The more than two hours of the joint practice at Fields 3 and 4. As it typically goes, it's Bears offense against Dolphins defense, Bears defense against Dolphins offense. It's a lot to follow, man. You feel like you're drinking through a fire hose, just trying to figure it all out and see what's happening out there. My overview today, man, it was a great day for the Bears defense, and you got to see that unit shine. And I'll preface it by saying Tyreek Hill was not practicing. He's dealing with an oblique. Jaylen Waddle got dinged up in practice. He left. But it doesn't matter. Tua's a good quarterback, and you know what you're up against there. This Bears defense looked dominant out there. It was a strong day for that unit. On the offensive side of the football, there were some good moments. It was up and down, I would say. There were some things you want to clean up and a continuation of some of the details we've seen throughout training camp. But it was encouraging at times and something to build on.
Emma, I got to say, your background, your microphone, your everything, the look is just outstanding. Right now, that is phenomenal. It's exciting. It's Bears-ish, and it's getting us going. I love that we've had a chance, and we're going to hear from Caleb Williams, who spoke with Layla Rahimi and Mark Grody earlier today, and we've had a chance to hear from Ben Johnson a lot, and we'll hear a little bit about that as well. But Kevin Byard's stepping up today. That's a dude. That is an adult. And that is a guy I always enjoy getting to hear talk because of his time in the league and his understanding of how locker rooms work and how football needs to function.
It was great to hear from KB. It's great to hear from him any time, but especially today on a day in which the defense shined. Byard had a diving interception on Tua Tagovailoa. According to our colleague Jason Leisure, Tua had thrown one pick all throughout training camp. He threw three today. Byard had one. Jaquan Brisker had another. Tremaine Edmonds got him at the goal line, but Byard had the play of the day defensively. He was really loud out there. You heard him. You felt his presence, and he was carrying the way for this group. He was happy with how things went, as you'd imagine. So here's Kevin Byard on the defense's performance.
I feel like we just came out with the right intensity. We kind of just talked about it last night in our meetings, being able to go out there and set the tone. I mean, I always believe that defense is obviously set, everything's set from the front. So obviously boys like Grady, Dex, Tez, Dio, they're going to set the tone. But on the back end, we wouldn't be able to hold our own, too. And Briss came out there, got a couple big hits. He got a pick, kind of turned us all up. I was able to get a pick as well. So still a lot of things to clean up. But I think if we play like we practice today, we're going to be pretty good.
Man, it's I like the way this defense is coming together, Lawrence.
I do, too. I'm still concerned about the pass rush. I'm not sure that they did enough. But I do think with the creativity of Dennis Allen, it offers them an opportunity to try to make some things look like they're not supposed to look, which should keep offenses off balance.
Yeah, I think Dennis Allen's man coverage threw off the Dolphins today. They were just not ready to go against them with the passing attack. And there was a forced fumble as well. They were strong against the run. You saw that pass defense in particular really shine today. And those guys were flying around. They were playing with confidence. You felt them. They were pumping up the crowd because it was a home game at practice today, and people were into it. Between the two fields, anytime the offense would do something, you get a cheer. There was one moment where Caleb hit Colson Loveland on a long touchdown. There was a loud cheer. Over in the other field, Jaquan Brisker took a pick the other way, and that field was cheering. So there was an energy out on fields 3 and 4 today, and the defense was feeding off that. the work that they've done throughout camp is really encouraging, because last year you didn't really get a sense of what this defense could be with Matt Eberflus being forced out, and really the effort level was in question a lot of the way. The injuries, certainly to Andrew Billings up front, Vontaze Sweat was just never healthy. You didn't get a sense of what this defense could be at its full form. And you're seeing that now, the way this group, with it's healthy and coming together with Dennis Allen's identity, is playing. But it's also a buy-in to what Ben Johnson's doing. And Kevin Byard offered an interesting comparison as to a culture change he was part of before back in Tennessee. So here's Kevin Byard.
Just his intensity, attention to detail. He's a leader of men. I know that's always kind of been talked about just as a head coach, but I just really enjoy the energy that he sets every single day. You know, I've been part of a new kind of leadership change, culture change, and it feels very similar. Doesn't matter if you're year one, undrafted, year 10, you got to come in and show every single day and show improve, and you feel it, you know what I mean? So, like I said, as a veteran, I've been through it, and it's very similar to what it was when I was with Vrabel. So, and I don't like to make the comparison as far as, like, just because we have Vrabel's going to have success, whatever it may be, but just I understand what it's like to have to reset a culture, and I think he's doing a great job.
Ooh, look, that is unprompted. It's not like you guys asked him, does it remind you of Vrabel? He brings it up there and even says, I don't like to do that, but... And here's the thing. We'll see whether it's all going to work. What I do know is that the dream is an offensive strategist with a great mind, who's a great play caller, who's also a leader of men. I mean, that's the dream, is you have that combo. So that's very exciting for me to hear, frankly.
Hearing that the culture is hearing from an old head. Like, this is a guy that's seen stuff. Like, this isn't just a guy that's here. Like, he's seen stuff, and he's at a point in his career that he doesn't have to say nice things. He's accomplished enough where he can just be like, oh, it's whatever. But I do like the fact that he feels that way. That's very, very strong. Emma, he's not the only one that was talking about Ben Johnson, though, right?
We got to hear from the chairman, George McCaskey, who has been, obviously, at all these practices, watching from the sidelines. He enjoyed Tuesday's practice in particular. I talked to you guys after that one, and it was intense. There was live tackling. There was some altercations. It was one of those days of training camp, and George McCaskey loved what he saw. Here's George McCaskey.
Well, it reminded me of the good old days of two-a-days, but you saw it getting a little chippy today with the joint practice. The guys are getting physical. I think that's an indication of how hard they're working. I think it's also an indication of how hot it is and how humid it is. No big blow-ups, so positive results.
Year one with Ben, year two with Caleb, just how are you feeling about the team, the football side of things?
Everyone's very hopeful. Everyone's very excited, talking to the fans, coming into practices. You know, we're in the honeymoon period. We're undefeated. So... I think people are very excited that we got the guy that they wanted us to get. But now we need to take care of business.
When you're watching practice, what grabs you about your head coach?
Yeah, you're seeing it. He's intense. He's demanding. He's committed. He's intelligent. And as Kevin said, you can see the respect that the players have for him. They know he knows ball. And they know that he can make them better.
Players have talked about the culture shift that they've experienced here since he was hired. How have you noticed that culture shift?
I wouldn't say a shift. You know, when you're successful, they say you have great culture. Mm-hmm. And when you're struggling, they say, well, there must be a problem with the culture. He's an agent of change, that's for sure. And we're looking for positive results from him.
George, what was the significance for you to be able to extend Ryan Poles' contract?
As Kevin said, it shows our faith in him. Ryan would be the first person to tell you. We don't have the results yet, but you can see him putting the building blocks together. His staff is strong. His leadership is sound. He's a great listener. He's a great leader. And we think he's a great talent evaluator. And we think that his partnership with Ben is going to bring Bears fans the winner they deserve.
I like that in there, George is being real realistic. Like that part was like, hey, we're in the honeymoon phase. Like, we're undefeated. Nothing's happened here yet. I appreciate that there, while he is being positive about who Ben Johnson is and what he thinks he's done, that he is still waiting at least for a little bit to see some proof of concept.
It's a notable comparison to Kevin Warren, who spoke as well. And I know you played back some of the stadium stuff where he sets such a positive tone about this is going as exactly as we expected. And we're right on track with everything. And it's like, you don't really believe that. You feel the hurdles are still there. And that's a different topic. But George McCaskey's giving you realness, like you said. He's telling you, like, let's see the results. He's a Bears fan too, man. He talks about it all the time, about his connection. Is somebody is talks about himself as a fan first a lot of the times. And he wants to see the results, but he's also trusted Ryan Poles and Kevin Warren and everybody in this organization around him. He's turning to them saying, let's get this right here.
Yeah.
I think he's eager to see how this all plays out, but he certainly believes in it.
This was a big ask for George and the family to hand over the power and the money and double down with Ryan Poles, with the new guy, like the entire thing and the pivot to letting a head coach run the entire thing the way that we need to. It's a big ask.
And to eat the money on Eberflus.
All of it. So it's a big ask and a big step up, and they deserve props for that. So I understand, because George, who does care, like you're talking about, Lawrence, is really watching very closely to make sure that they've done the right thing.
It's good to hear. It's good to hear that it isn't just, you know, seashells and balloons. Like, hey, there's still work that has to be done, but we're happy with what we've seen. I find that to be fair.
Yeah, man. I'll never forget the image of George, like, freaking out positively when the Bears had a pick six against Minnesota at the Vikings on the road. That last year of Tressman and Emery, like, the Bears were way out of it. They were way out of it, but he was passionately going crazy for the Bears making a big play on defense, and then 3 weeks later, he fired both of them because he cares in every way.
The other team that was here was the Dolphins, and I would love to cover Mike McDaniel. I think that he is a fascinating person. Emma, did you get some time with Mike McDaniel?
I did get some time with Mike McDaniel. Look, these press conferences with head coaches here for the Bears, whether it's Ben Johnson, Matt Eberflus, they typically go about 10 or so minutes. Mike McDaniel spoke for about a half hour to reporters today, answering every single question in detail and a lot of thought going into it. What you're about to hear is Mike McDaniel talking about the coach-quarterback relationship, one that he had to take on with Tua Tagovailoa after Brian Flores was dismissed in Miami, and establishing that connection. And then you're going to hear Mike McDaniel talk about his connection with a 14-year-old Caleb Williams, who he coaches part of the quarterback collection. So let's get right to it. Here's Mike McDaniel.
Yeah, I think the main thing is that the two individual parties with proper intent go through stuff together. So, like, quite honestly, to get to the spot that you need to, like, you need, you know, Caleb's going to be challenged. And then, you know, by nature, your true intent of how you're coaching and what your motivations are do come through when you go through stuff together. But you have to create the relationship that you want, you have to, really care, have competitiveness, accountability, and you're probably going to have to get into some fights that aren't, it's like there's a bug flying around me. Does that have to do with the way I smell? No. You have to go through stuff together. So it may seem the short term that either from the player's perspective, coach is coming at you, or from the coach's perspective, the player might be getting sensitive at some point, or might be misinterpreting you, and there's no way around it. You have to go straight through those types of scenarios because it's a real relationship's developed, not in perfect conditions, but going through stuff together. You know, Caleb, I coached in a collective football camp when he was like 17 years old, or 14, I think, all the way back to 14 years old. So I've known Caleb for a long time.
Wow.
As a 14-year-old, he was super talented and super cerebrally. He was position focused and technique focused, which is super rare for a guy of his talent. And then fast forward to, you know, so I had my eye on him when he's a freshman in Oklahoma, watched him at USC, and did incredible things on the football field with the whole world watching. So there's a guy that knows how to live within expectations like you have to do as a franchise quarterback, has the capability and he's been working to improve his game for a long time. And so he was a prospect that was stood out, I guess, from the, you know, each year you have quarterbacks come out. You see a guy that can do every throw and then can verbalize and know any offense inside and out. So he's a good prospect for sure.
Super interesting to spend
that's
3 minutes with
so
that guy.
Cool.
I mean, it's super interesting just to hang out with him. But what's so cool, remembering him at age 14?
It's all of it. It's like Emma was saying, like, one, another NFL coach giving you 30 minutes. And not just giving you 30 minutes, like actually talking to you about the quarterback of your team and breaking. This quote is amazing. The two quotes that I wrote down there, you're probably going to have to get into some fights when he's talking about the relationship between quarterback and coach.
Mm-hmm.
And then Caleb being position focused, technique focused, which is rare with someone with his talent. Like there, for someone to go chapter and verse on your quarterback, and everyone really respects Mike McDaniel, his mind.
His offensive mind,
right?
and the way the humans function. Whether you agree with him or not, he thinks about it deeply.
It's very cool to get that type of intel on your team from another coach.
Yeah, no, I agree. And the idea of the fights that are bound to happen, I'm sure he and Tua have. I'm sure he saw Kyle Shanahan, his mentor, get into it with quarterbacks along the way. And we know that Ben and Jared Goff did, and I'm sure that Ben and Caleb are, you know, and if they haven't, they sure will, right, Chris?
Without a doubt. There's so much from Mike McDaniel. I could have played so much more of that. He talked about his connection with Ben Johnson, about the admiration of his offensive innovation. I'll write about it for 670thescore.com, kind of covering it. It's just, you get a sense that he's very similar to Ben Johnson in terms of the offensive mind and connecting with a quarterback. They're very different personalities, obviously, but they see quarterback development the same way. And you got a sense of it there from Mike McDaniel.
So what about the Bears head coach? What did he say? Because he used to be in Miami.
He spent 7 seasons down in Miami, and it was an interesting time. He rose up the ranks and then fell off. He had 5 different job titles in 7 years with 2 different head coaches, Joe Philbin first and then Adam Gase. And then once Gase was fired, he fell out of a job, and he got fired for the only time in his career. But get a reflection on his time in Miami. Here's Ben Johnson.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt. There's a number of familiar faces, whether it's people that were there when I was there. I think that was 2012 to 2018. Training staff, equipment staff, coaches. There's still some coaches that are still there, and then there's some coaches I was with in Detroit that are there now too. So it'll be pretty cool to see some of those faces. It's when you look back at this game at this level, it always comes down to relationships. And you know, we get into the competitive nature of wins and the losses, and you get fired and you have to move on and all that. But really, it's the people that you're around that make the job so enjoyable.
Man, it's cool. And I love that he's got old friends there, and some of those people get to stick around. Like, he seems like a genuine dude. And it's, you know, it's interesting. This whole day has seemed worthwhile, and we knew that it would be, but this should be on TV. We talked about it before the show, Lawrence. This idea of like televising the joint practices. I mean, it's a revenue stream waiting for somebody, don't you think?
Yeah, I think I'd have to really crunch the numbers on it. But yeah, I do think that that's, as they move away from the importance of preseason games, the joint practices offer an element that you're not going to get in game coverage that I think is fascinating and should be monetized. If I'm thinking about this as a business, how many people would stream that at work? Yeah. Like, how many people would have been streaming Bears Dolphins dual practice today while they're sitting there figuring out how they can duck out of work today around 2 o'clock and get themselves on the road for a vacation? Like, it would have done numbers for sure. But that's wild stuff, man. Wow, so good. Any nuggets or tidbits for us?
I got a bunch of nuggets and tidbits. I'll keep it quick as I can here. Kyler Gordon did not practice, dealing with a hamstring injury. Darnell Wright returned after limping off of practice yesterday. A notable addition at the left tackle mix, Theo Benedict mixed in with the first team offense today. Karan Abagaji remains sidelined. Braxton Jones, Ozzie Terpillo, both rotating in as well. Former Bears connections with the Dolphins include Larry Borum and James Daniels. The offensive coordinator there is Frank Smith, who was Don Fox's tight ends coach. Champ Kelly, who was a right-hand man to Ryan Pace, part of that front office brass as well. Good to see former Bears offensive lineman Kyle Long today at practice. He's working with CBS Sports. People were drawn to him, man. They were shouting out, looking for autographs, excited to see Kyle Long back. And then the most notable fight today happened between two Dolphins players. It was not a Bears-Dolphins skirmish. Linebacker Jordan Brooks went after another teammate. I couldn't see who it was because they were very quick to break it up. But
I told you that thing down there is...
Emma, it didn't inspire confidence for me what's going on in Miami, but I never seen a joint practice fight between two teammates. So that was a good one.
That's amazing. I mean, like, these things are literally set up so you can stop bickering at your teammates and bicker with the players on the opposing team. You can stop being physical with your teammates in practice and just go after somebody else. And instead, you got this.
It's crazy. You want to hear something wild?
Yes.
James Daniels is 27 years old.
It's insane to me. I feel like the James Daniels era was a long time ago.
He was one of the youngest guys drafted. Was that 2018, I think, when he got drafted? And he's only 27.
Like, when was James Brown here? The tackle James Brown.
Nice.
Yeah, I know, exactly. You know, the godfather of the hold. When was he here?
Sometime around there.
Feels similar.
Yeah, it does.
And those things feel eternal.
He's 27. Emma, great job, man. We appreciate you. Thanks for joining us.
Take care, boys. Have a good one.
I look forward to reading what he writes on 670 The Score about the whole experience of listening to McDaniel. Really glad he went over and did that today.
Me too. We need to take a break. Why? Because Caleb Williams was on The Score earlier today. If you're just jumping in your car because you're going to be like, hey, I'm driving to southwestern Michigan, or I'm going to take a trip to Iowa, or you're in the car right now, the Bears quarterback was on The Score. We're going to share it with you next.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Yeah, you know, we call today Feel Good Friday, so I'm trying to stick to that, you know?
I like it.
Afternoons on The Score.
It's that guy Williams.
You know what that means. That means it's time for you to win yourself some Black Keys tickets. The No Rain, No Flowers tour with special guest Gary Clark Jr. September 3rd. Huntington Bank Pavilion at Northerly Island here in the city. Beautiful. Tickets are available at livenation.com. Be caller 6 right now to 312-540-0670. Now, earlier today, Speaks, it was a little weird for us as we were figuring out what the show was going to be today, because we had the stuff that we kind of wanted to do, but we needed to leave space because we knew that Caleb Williams was going to be on The Score.
We also didn't know exactly when we were going to start, because Layla and Mark Grody were doing a tremendous Caleb Williams pregame show as they stalled and waited for Caleb Williams. And he eventually came on the station about an hour after the original schedule, but it was pretty cool to hear the quarterback on with those two.
I think the first question we have for you is, how was practice today? We got various reports. I know you guys were working on specific installations. What was it like facing another team for the first time since the Packers game?
Yeah, it's good to go out there and go versus somebody else, see some other colors, see a different, different type of defense, and a bunch of different players compared to our defense, and go out there and get after it.
And we know Ben Johnson said that the starters are not going to play on Sunday. So, therefore, how important was it for you and the offense to get as much work as you could get in today? And how did you try to approach it, knowing that information?
Yeah, no, it was, it was important for us to get out there and have a certain mindset preparing for, a game. And that's what we were trying to accomplish today. And, I think being able to understand that, understand we're not going to play this weekend, and going out there and having a, you know, solid practice and working on what we need to work on, was important. And so I think being able to do all of that, and still working through installs, still working through the small kinks of the offense, I think today was a good representation of that.
Caleb, thanks again for coming on The Score with us. I have to say, like, none of us really knows exactly how to cover what's going on in this training camp with you, with all of the new stuff, what went down last year, new offense, new playbook, new defense, all of that kind of stuff. I thought it was interesting to hear from your general manager, Ryan Poles, who was on the flagship station. He said about you, Caleb, and I want to get your opinion on this, that the pieces you have cannot be coached. You've got the killer instinct. You've got the ability to get the Bears over the hump. But he also said the fundamental piece, the operation, understanding coverages, that's where we got to get into this new system. And that part he just didn't do as much in college. So he's got to hit that part and continue to grow and develop and pour his time and energy into that with Ben. My question to you, Caleb Williams, is how close do you think it is to clicking? And as your general manager said, things happening, because that's what everybody wants to see.
Yeah, no, I think that's the part, you know, I mean, mainly any quarterback coming from college, you don't know all the knowledge that maybe a Tom did at latter part of his career, or Aaron, or Ben Roethlisberger, or even other guys that are still in the league, Geno and Russell and all these different guys. I think that's, you know, the fundamentals, the learning different defensive systems, learning different offensive systems, everything just becoming more fluid. It's something that happens over time. And it's not something that happens just in year one or year two or anything like that. So that's the process we're at now. We're working towards it. I'm working towards it, putting in the time, effort with, you know, myself, and then also with the coaches and things like that, just making sure that I can help lead this team and put us in the best position and, you know, in the game to be able to go out there, score as many points as possible, win as many games as possible.
What is – like if there is one thing, Caleb, that you can point to about your own play that you would say, if this just gets better, it will click. Things will happen. You'll see the generational talent if this happens. Is there something that you could point to?
No, I think it just comes with more reps and just being comfortable. Second or third offense or, you know, whatever. And so just getting it down, just feeling comfortable, you know, all the details, all the information. And once I feel comfortable, everything just kind of starts to flow for me. And I just, you know, get into a flow state of ball and, we start enjoying it and start going out there and winning some games.
Caleb, I know a lot has been discussed about the differences between last season as far as what the results were and then what Ben Johnson's philosophy is for this season. I'm thinking about like the touchdown to interception ratio, which I know you were happy to see at the end of the year, and also EPA. And I've said it's okay, you know, especially in practice, to take risks. But also we've seen now that sometimes interceptions are valued lower as far as what's damaging to a game. So I've said I think it would be great to see you get weird. I know sometimes you're going to have to take those risks and maybe it turns into an interception. Maybe it turns into later you checking out what the defense is giving you early in a game and then leading to more successful drives later in a game. How are you marrying that concept of knowing it's going to feel bad to make certain mistakes that maybe you thought were worse mistakes to make, relatively speaking, then, compared to how it turns out ultimately now?
Yeah, I think me making mistakes now is where I'm at. Throw these interceptions that I'm going to throw in practice or maybe preseason or being able to, you know, understand and figure out how to see this defense and, you know, maybe where I need to get down to, whether it's a check down or whether it's, you know, I actually can't complete this pass. Maybe it's second window or, just figuring out those small things. And that's where we're at right now. That's where I'm at. So that when we get into the games that, you know, it's a calculated risk. Yes. Every throw is, or every moment is, but, it's a well-calculated risk. And, you know, we're taking those risks when it's time. And if not, it's not there. Just take the check down, move on.
We're happy to talk to Caleb Williams here on the continuation of Rahimi and Harris on 670 The Score with Mark Grody. And I think that said, I want to ask about how you envision your best self in this offense. Like, I think about your pro day and the vibe there at USC and how fun that was. What does this offense look like for you? Is there something that you want to do where you feel like you're going to be your best self? Like, give us a visualization of the end game and how this looks for you, a pass you throw, or how we know you're feeling good.
I hope to not tell you, or I hope to not show that I'm feeling good. I don't want to be even killed and things like that. Good or bad or indifferent, you know, be even killed, but us just flowing, us just scoring as many points as possible on how many every drives we have, is where my happiness and, where I'm flowing, best is at.
Caleb, we're not going to go into the whole Netgate thing. I know you addressed that already yesterday, and I love how you literally laugh things off like that. And I don't know if a lot of quarterbacks or players have that same ability in relation to that, because we're all tweeting about you. I'm out there watching. Sometimes we're praising you. Sometimes we're critical of you. What do we get wrong, and are you treated fairly? Is there anything that you see other than that viral video, and you're like, when you're scrolling, are you like, what are these guys talking about, or do you think the coverage of you is fair?
Fair isn't my job to judge. But I mean, I wouldn't say that there's always truth to reports that come out, typically, to be honest with you, that come out. We're in practice, we're in training camp. We didn't maybe score as many points or anything like that last year, or win as many games, but some of these reports that come out, yes, they are a little false, especially after a year that I had last year. It's all right. It's everybody's job, and everybody has a job to do. And my job is to go win games. Your job made to be, report and critic, good, bad, or indifferent. And, there's no judge for either side.
Life in the big city, right? That's what your general manager always says. It's going to happen in market number three, right, Caleb?
Absolutely.
Caleb, thank you so much for joining us and taking the time. And I hope you enjoy getting to watch and absorb the game on Sunday.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thanks, Caleb.
Caleb Williams with Layla and Mark Grody earlier today.
Yeah, that was cool to have the Bears quarterback on the Score airwaves and talking about important stuff and trying to figure out what's next. Like, I enjoy any time we get like a big name on there, and that's obviously someone that people want to hear from. We spend so much time talking about him. As I said earlier, I do think that it's fair for him to be like, "Yeah, that's a little unfair."
Mm-hmm.
You know. By the way, people have been reacting to the idea of televising the joint practices.
Yeah,
I was thinking about it while I did my little walkabout.
Oh, you did! You did do a walkabout.
Today was Lorna Doone day. I went and got a little 4-pack of Lorna Doones. Here, I got replenished. You know, Mama Holmes with a whole box.
Oh, that's good. Oh, you didn't go upstairs. Want to make sure you pay. Want to make sure you completed the purchase. Yeah, if you went upstairs.
I have my own little stash of treats.
You do,
so I don't need to steal from upstairs, which is apparently going on.
Only by like 10%.
That's why you just go to WBBM and steal their candy. They don't care.
Yeah,
they're cool with that.
They put it out there for them.
Yeah. Well, we also pay into that. Like, I drop a 5 or a 10 because Roger...
I put 5 on it.
And we assume, that they are taking that money and then buying the candy upstairs. Totally.
We don't know, though.
Oh, yeah, we don't know for sure.
We don't know.
If they're completing the purchase.
I don't know.
No, 90% of the time, they are.
Yep. They are.
It's the 10%.
It's that 10%.
If you shot 90% in a basketball game, that's extremely good. That's a very, very high percentage.
Can I make a suggestion on how you could get all of your money?
Sure.
An actual vending machine.
Where you can't just take the stuff?
Yeah.
And then go on the veiled honor system?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's possible. I could see that.
Honor system and radio people don't exactly go hand in hand.
There used to be one right here, too.
Vending machine. Yeah, I know. I remember it.
Right there.
I know. It was a lot closer.
had good treats in it, too.
Yeah, there used to be a microwave over there. There's a little kitchenette. Remember that?
Yep. We can't take care of the kitchenette.
No.
It's people putting fish in the microwave.
All right, so televising practices.
Oh, yes. Thank you for getting me back on track.
You're very welcome.
I also think that...
Nah, we got to take a break.
That's right. We do. We actually do. But I also think there's something to the element of most fans have no idea what the Bears facility looks like. Think about that. They only can allow for 1,000 fans to go to practices.
Got no idea.
People would love to know what Halas Hall looks like.
I agree. I think people would really dig that. Before a full night of baseball gets underway with the Cubs and the Cardinals, and oh, by the way, Max Scherzer against Clayton Kershaw in a Blue Jays-Dodgers matchup late tonight.
That'll work.
We need to bring you this, Chris Tannehill's last act before vacation. Athletes on Cameo are one of the internet's great gifts when we come back on Spiegel and Holmes.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Just to be clear, we love fun.
Afternoons on the Score.
Wow, what a weird combination. Yankees and Marlins. East Coast, West Coast.
So Cameo is still a thing. Word up.
Yes, it is. I prefer it for my Hanukkah greetings from Motown Superstars. That's my preferred use of Cameo. But there's lots of ways to do it. And Tanny has discovered
Happy
one.
Chinooka.
There we go. He had no idea.
Happy Chinooka. I have no idea what Chinooka is.
All I know is that if you ever want to be disgusted, go look up Smokey's last album and the song titles of that album.
Oh, really?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
It ties into the chord case? And
yeah.
Oh, that's too bad.
It is. It's really too bad. But Tanny found some athletes on Cameo, and he's having a lot of fun with it.
Yeah, there's a guy. This popped up in my algorithm, and thank God for the algorithm. There's a guy with some disposable income, so he will just send cameos to athletes and just have them say absurd things. So who better than Hall of Famer and Ravens legend Ray Lewis to be silly on Cameo? And here's what it sounded like.
Sometimes when I'm bored, I buy cameos and I just write the craziest prompt that I can think of. And this is one that I just sent to NFL Hall of Famer Ray Lewis.
Hey, Ray, my coworker Kevin talks in a baby voice during meetings, like full baby talk while we're discussing serious stuff. The other day, he said he made a little mistakey-wakey on the spreadsheet.
Hey, Kevin, check this out. This blessing comes from Jim, and I'm telling you, all your coworkers got a problem. Because in meetings, you talking with this baby voice, doing meetings, like full baby talk, while people discussing serious matters. I mean, just the other day, just think about it. I made a little mistakey-wakey. That's what that sounds like. So what I'm telling you is, we got to change that. Immediately. So you're clear and understanding that we need volume. Right? Presence. Expression. Kevin, please don't make me have to come talk to you personally.
Oh, my. You definitely don't want that.
No, you do not want that.
You definitely don't want that.
I find it fascinating.
For all sorts of reasons.
That Chris Tannehill is drawn to a former NFL player who may have gotten away with a crime where someone passed away. I'm finding that maybe Tanny has a type.
In any event, that's it for today. Take care.
I made a little mistakey-wakey.
Tanny, should we as a show, spend a little money and just get some liners done?
I think so. I wonder if Marvin Harrison could talk about something for us.
Well,
you know,
I actually ran into Marvin Harrison at the Hall of Fame in 2018.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
How'd that go?
It ended up going fine because I dropped a name.
Hub Arkish?
No, better.
There was never, ever any real closure on the possibility that he shot someone in Philadelphia.
That's hilarious.
No, Zach Zaidman. Because Zach Zaidman and Marvin Harrison did a show together in college.
Oh, in Syracuse, wow.
Wow. That's the only thing that saved me.
And Zach survived. I'm glad Zach survived.
Yep. That's
but seriously, Tanny has an online type. You know?
He's got a dark soul. He's a lovely man.
Yeah.
He's
made a little mistakey-wakey.
That's terrifying.
You don't want him to come down there.
Yeah, he's threatening to come down there. I'm not gonna make a single mistakey-wakey on a spreadsheet anytime soon.
Did you notice that we're in 12 formation literally right now?
Oh my God, folks. That means 12 formation. We don't have Colston Loveland and Cole Kmet, but we've got both. We've got Tyler's Butterbaugh and Ferengul ready to go. Hot Tyler.
Please don't make me have to come talk to you personally.
Hot Tyler on Tyler action for a Friday night here at the Score.
That is crazy.
Okay, Judson, thank you.
Judson Richards.
Judson Richards is going to be on the airwaves. I like that. Love Judson. Tanny's going on vacation, so don't be saying stuff when he's not here next week. He's just going to enjoy some time with his family. For Tanny, for Alex, for my partner, Matt Spiegel, I'm Lawrence Holmes saying thank you so much for the love and support. You show this show every single day. We will do our best to repay the favor on Monday after the Bears preseason thing that they're going to do over at Soldier Field. Stay out of trouble and enjoy the city beautiful. Bye, y'all.
If anybody needs a vacation, I need a vacation.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.